continue to pray for those who are sick, those in the hospital, many that still are dealing with the virus and all the effects of this. Pray for our leaders of our nation. Brother Trump, we say that by faith. President Trump and our incoming president, that God would give them wisdom and lead them through this crisis. Let's go to the Word today, and I want to ask you to go to Numbers, the 21st chapter, Numbers chapter number 21. I'm going to read just a few verses there, verses 16 through 19. This is not an unfamiliar passage of Scripture for Turning Point anyway. We go to this Scripture every once in a while and pick some, seems like every time we go there we pick a little more meat off the bone. There's quite a bit there. Maybe you want to stand for the reading of the Word today. Numbers 21, verse 16, and from thence they went to Beer. That is the well whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, gather the people together. Gather the people together, and I will give them water. And then Israel sang this song. They sang this song. I keep meaning to get our praise team or choir or somebody to put this into a modern day song. We could do it. The modern day songs just say the same thing over and over anyway. So it's just four words. It'd be easy for you to put on the screen. Spring up. Here's what they sang. Spring up. Oh well. Sing ye unto it. They sang to the ground. The princes are the ones that dig the well. The nobles of the people, they digged it. They did not have drills. They did not have shovels, but by the direction of the lawgiver with their staves. At Moses' direction, they took their staves, their sticks, their spears, their sword, whatever they had that was sharp. And that's what they dug into the ground with. With their staves, and from the wilderness they went to Matana. We'll stop there. Lord, I pray you'd speak to us today. Give me the words to say to your people. I ask you to open our hearts, our spirits. I know there are people watching today, Lord, need a word from you. They need a word. We need to hear from heaven. And I pray that you would anoint my lips and use them, Lord, as clay to speak to this people this day what needs to be spoken. We ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. And give the Lord a mighty hand clap one more time. Come on, join us out there. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Have your way, Lord. And thank you. And you may be seated. And thank you for standing. I want to open with a synoptic view. Very quickly, I want to take you through the entire chapter 21 of Numbers, because it gives you some contextual understanding. And so in verse 1, Arad, the king of the Canaanites, attacks Israel, and he makes some of them prisoners. In verse 2, they promise, or they devote him and his people to destruction. In verse 3, they accomplish that. In verse 4, the people journey then from Hor, and they're greatly discouraged now because of the way. In verse 5, they complain against God and Moses, and they begin to complain. They say, we loathe this manna. We loathe this light bread that God is raining down from heaven. They complain about this miraculous provision. In verse 6, the Lord sends these fiery serpents among them. They begin to bite them, and everyone who's bitten by these vipers, by these serpents, begins to die. In verse 7, very quickly, they repent and they beg Moses to intercede for us on behalf of us. And then in verse 8, the Lord directs him, Moses, to make a brazen serpent and to set it up on a pole. Everybody who looked at the serpent would be healed, and they were spared. In verse 9, Moses does just that, and the people who beheld the brazen serpent, the Bible lets us know they lived. Then in verses 10 through 13, we see them journey. The Bible gives us this narrative, this journey, where they go from here to there. They move from there to over there. They go from there, then they move over here. They journey to Oboth and to Ijah-Abarim and then to Zered and then to Arnon. And then in verse 14 and 15, a quotation is given from the book of the Wars of the Lord. And then verse 16, from Arnon, they move to Beer. This is where we picked up. And we see their song of triumph. The Bible records for us in this dry place, this dry land where no water was, where they are parched, they are thirsty, they're dry, and they're looking for water. It causes them to become a complaining people. In fact, they often complained when things didn't go their way. And so they began to, the Bible gives us the record of this song of triumph. In verse 21, Moses sends messengers to the Amorites for permission to pass through their land. In verses 23 through 26, Sihon, their king, refuses and attacks Israel, and he's defeated, and all his cities are destroyed. In verses 27 through 30, we see this wonderful poem, this proverb that's made on the occasion of their victory. And then 31 and 32, Israel possesses the land of the Amorites. And then in 33, they are attacked by Og, the king of Bashan. And then they defeat him in verses 34 and 35. They destroy his troops. They destroy his family. And they possess the land. And it's in the middle of all this. I wanted to point out to you their journeys. Do you know that their destination, when they left Egypt, the Promised Land was only a 3 days journey. They should have arrived at their destination in 3 days, and what should have taken them 3 days, in fact, ends up taking them 40 years. For 40 years, we have record of them just journeying, traveling in the wilderness. And so I'd like to tell you today that it's not necessarily the destination that we must concern ourselves with. Think about this. Our destination is heaven. We know, and that's why we don't get so upset about the things of this earth. We know that one of these days we're going to leave this earth. We've got a home called heaven. Come on, somebody. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our destination is forever fixed. I was going to heaven yesterday, and I'm on my way to heaven today. Whatever happens to me tonight, I'm going to be on my way to heaven tomorrow. The destination is fixed, and it's not the destination that we have to be concerned with. It's the journey. It's the journey. It's the day by day journey. It's the going from here to there, from Hor to Agog, and then to Oboth, and then to Zered, and then to Arnon. And the Bible just kind of encapsulates those journeys in a few little scriptures. But don't be mistaken; these are big deals to people who are 2 to 3 million people strong, carrying everything they own on their back, picking it up, and going from one place to another is a very big deal. And I feel like telling somebody today, I don't know who I'm telling, but you need to receive this, that your destination is forever fixed. You are on your way to a heavenly place. You are on your way to an eternal abode with Jesus Christ. But don't get discouraged by the way. Circumstances will come and problems will arrive and dry places come, and they do. But don't give up on the journey, because heaven is right around the corner. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. We're not very far from our destination. We're on our way to a place called heaven. So the enemy doesn't have to mess with our destination. He doesn't have to tell you there's no heaven. He doesn't even have to try to get you to stop going to heaven. All he has to do is get you weary and wear you out. And it doesn't matter that you want to go to heaven if you wear out. That's why the Bible says, be not weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap. In verses 17 and 18, they are thirsty. They have no water, and God gives them instructions. He gives them instructions. We see really only 4 activities on the part of God's people in this miracle. They dig, they sing, they expect, and they receive. Let's talk about that for a minute. the digging itself. Really, all they did, because all they could do, was to poke holes in the ground. They took their makeshift tools and stabbed at the ground. I said before, they had no well digging equipment. They had no drills, they had no shovels, they had no backhoes, they had no bulldozers, they had nothing with which to dig. And so when they get to this place where the Lord says, I'm going to give you water, but you must dig it out, they had to come to terms with the fact that if the Lord tells us to dig and all he's given us with which to dig is staves, then we will use what God has placed in our hand and do what God has told us to do. Have you ever thought that maybe your blessing is just beneath the surface? Maybe what you need most is just beneath the surface, but it makes no difference. Really, if you're dying of thirst, water can be just a few inches away, but if you don't get to the water, you'll die just as surely as if it were 30 feet down or 3 miles down or 300 miles down. It doesn't matter if it's 2 inches or 200 miles. If you can't get to the source, it doesn't matter. You can die of thirst right there with water just a few inches beneath the surface. But God says, look, your blessing is just beneath the surface. And God says, if you will do what I have instructed you to do. I know today our tools are not staves. Our tools, have you ever felt like the Lord was telling you, if you'll just hang on, if you'll just hang on? I know that we're always looking for something new. Well, what can I do? Well, you know, I have people come to me, call me, text me. What can I do? I'm in trouble. What can I do? And I feel like a broken record, Brother Southern. You know what I'm talking about, Jordan. Y'all know what I'm talking about. A broken record because I don't have anything new to tell God's people. All I know is if you will dig, you will find water. If you will use what God has given you, the source, the resource, the miracle, the solution is just beneath the surface. It always is. It's never far away. You are never very far away from a blessing. And so I know it feels ridiculous to get our staves and go poking in the sand and poking in dry ground where no water appears to be. But when God tells us, and that's why it feels foolish sometimes, it looks foolish, I should say, to the world. When we go to prayer, we get our Bibles, and we the Bible anymore, it's a punchline to the world. It's a joke to the world. Kids try to take their Bibles to school, they get made fun of. Take your Bible to work and lay it out on your desk, and it used to be something that people would honor and respect, and now you'll get called all kinds of names. But this little tool, this little stave, I've taken it many dry places and begin to poke at the earth, and God would always let some gusher come flowing up from the dry ground, and I've been fed, and I've been nourished, and I've received drink, and I've received fountains just with the word of God. I lay in a hospital bed and opened my Bible when I felt like I'd been forgotten and forsaken, driest time of my life. And I just opened the Bible. God, I need a word right now. And I begin to poke at some dry ground. And God began to speak to me words of life, words of encouragement. I have not forgotten you. I have not forsaken you. To the world, that seems foolish. But to a born-again child of God, you've never lived until you get water in a dry place. And I'm telling you that the Bible is a stave, and you can poke, and you can poke, and you can stab at the dry ground, and God would let a gusher come flowing into your life this morning. We need to get our noses out of all the other stuff we're in right now. Maybe a novel's not where your nose needs to be right now. Maybe the mystery book's not where your nose needs to be right now. Maybe what we need to do is get back to the Word, get back to the basics. I know that's old hat. You say that all the time, Pastor. Tell us to go read the Bible. I've never found anything better yet to tell you to read than to go to the Word of the Lord and get out your stave and begin to poke in the ground. And God's got a blessing for you just a few inches away. I know we sound like a broken record when we tell you to pray, pray about it, pray about it, pray about it. Go to the Lord in prayer. But that's one of the staves. That's one of the tools that we use. I know it seems like small tools for such a big job. You wanna drill, but God says just dig with what you have and prayer. Oh God, it doesn't have to be a long fancy prayer. Oh God, I'm thirsty. Oh God, I believe you, Lord. Oh, God, I need something from you right now, Lord. Some of the most powerful moves of God I've ever had in my life have been from the simplest prayers. They weren't wordy. They weren't fancy. They weren't even long. They were just cries to the Lord. And he answers my prayer every single time. They just take their staves and they did what they could. They did what they could. They made holes. And God said, if you go as far as you can, then I'll bring the rest. You dig, I'll bring the water. You make the holes, I'll bring the water through the holes. They dug and then they sang. I love this. Now don't check out on me here. Don't check out if you're not into singing, because I know singing and music is not everybody's thing. So don't check out, because I'm not really talking here about so much about joining the choir when I talk about singing, and neither is the Bible. 2 to 3 million people, you know, there were some of them that just didn't care for music that much. Not everybody was a musician. Now, the Israelites did, music was part of their culture. They enjoyed singing just like we do, but not all of them. But if Moses said, we want to get a choir together, you know there wouldn't be 3 million people show up and say, I want to be in the choir. Some of them say, that's just not my thing, you know. But they sang, because it wasn't just about song. This is, don't get wrapped up in the song part of this. This is not just about melody. This is not just about holding an extended chord or note with your voice or an instrument. This is about the content of the song. It was a four-word song. So all of you that knock all the modern-day music, well, there's just a few words, and it just, well, talk to the Lord about this song. Sometimes I think we fight fights that don't need to be fought. But anyway, that's another sermon. The Israelites sang this song. They didn't have screens and they didn't have hymnals, so I suppose it had to be a short song. And they sang, spring up, oh well, in a dry land, they sing to a well, to a non-existent, as far as they know, source, to an invisible source. They cannot see it. They cannot smell it. They cannot touch it. All they know is that God told them if they would be faithful, then so would he. And so they begin to sing to their problem, to their situation. It's not so much about the melody. It's not so much about the vocal cords as it is what was said. And they spoke to their dry situation, and they spoke water into a dry situation. I wonder if that's what Jesus was talking about when he said, if you speak to the mountain, then it will obey you. If you speak to the tree, it'll do whatever you tell it to do. So we can say and complain about what is, or we can speak what we desire to be. That's why we can't just always pray against sickness, bind sickness, bind sickness, bind sickness. We've got to speak, what do you want to come in the place of sickness? We speak life, we speak healing, we speak recovery. We can't just always be against weakness. Right? We can't just preach weakness against weakness. We've got to be careful in the pulpit that we don't just preach against stuff. You shouldn't be weak, you shouldn't be sick, you shouldn't be discouraged. Well, what should we be? You've got to speak what should be, what you believe shall be. You can speak. Ezekiel could have stood in that valley full of dead dry bones and said, you dead dry bones, you bunch of skeletons, you're not worth anything. You need to straighten up. If you had any life, he could do that all day long. And he would close his sermon to a bunch of dead dry bones. But the Lord said, that's not what I want you to do. I want you to preach over dead dry bones and tell them, I'm going to give you life. I'm going to give you skin. I'm going to give you nerve endings. I'm going to give you blood. I'm going to give you everything you need to go from being a skeleton to being a living army. And as he began to preach what shall be, it came into being. So stop complaining about the dryness and start singing to the well. Stop griping about what is and start praying what should be. Well, I got a no good husband. Well, keep complaining and you'll either divorce a no good husband or die with a no good husband. Maybe if you'd start speaking words of faith. I don't know who I'm preaching to today. Maybe my wife. I don't know. Well, my wife's worthless. My wife's, well, keep saying that. My kids are no good. They're never going to amount to anything. Well, just keep saying that. You'll always have dry wells, valleys full of dead, dry bones. Complain about dryness and all you'll have is dryness. Complain about barrenness. You'll always have barrenness. Complain about problems. You'll only have problems. I know. You know why we do that? We get addicted to the feeling of complaining. After we complain, it feels better. We've decompressed. We let off some steam. And it feels good for a little while, but the problem's still there. And pretty soon, you're escalating again. But if we could learn to stop complaining and start praying, start singing, start praising God, start believing God, wonder if our situations could turn around. Wonder if our circumstances would change. Amen. Somebody said, don't let your circumstances define you. Let them refine you. They need to change you. And if we change, our circumstances can change. And so this perplexed group of people, they're still very entrenched in their slave mentality, complaining of the supply of manna and the lack of water. They've recently witnessed this innumerable amount of friends and family dying at the vexation of these fiery serpents. That sounds familiar. Now they are thirsty, and the Bible says they went from complaining to singing. Spring up. So when we face trials, we have three choices. We can curse it, we can rehearse it, or we can reverse it. Those who curse it, that's all you'll ever do is curse it. And you'll make it worse. Those who rehearse it, you want to talk about it, tell it over and over again. Some of you are rehearsing things that happened to you 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and it's still very prevalent in your life today because you can never let it go. But if you could just learn to say, you know what, Lord, I don't have anything to dig with but this right here. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to get in the Word. I'm going to hit my knees in prayer. I'm going to fast and get my flesh under control. I'm going to forgive if I need to forgive. I'm going to repent if I need to repent. Begin to poke around and see if God wouldn't reverse your situation. Amen. There's so many wonderful characters that are in faith's hall of fame. Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Jacob, Joseph. The Bible tells us of Moses and Rahab and Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and so many more. The Bible says that time doesn't permit. The Bible says they all endured. With all of the diversities that were in those lives and those peoples and their personalities and their situations, they had this commonality, and that was this, that they all endured through faith, by faith. So maybe you're dealing with a job situation and somebody else is dealing with a sickness and somebody else is dealing with a marital problem and somebody else's kids are going off the rails and somebody else is dealing with some kind of financial burden, whatever it may be, your problem. Maybe it's unique to you. Maybe you feel like that, but it doesn't matter. All of these men, all of these women had their unique situations, and yet it was the same answer for all of them. They've got to believe through faith, by faith, by faith, which brings me to the next third activity, and that is their expectation. They expected. As you dig, as you pray, as you sing, as you read, expect it to happen. Any second now, my situation is going to change. When you expect it to happen, you get up in the morning and you don't say, yeah, I thought so. You get up and you're shocked if it hasn't changed, and you go ahead and praise God because the change is on the way. You live on the edge of your seat. You lean into it. You lean forward. You're looking for every sign. Those men, as they dug in the earth, they didn't expect every time they struck the earth for it to be dry. They struck the earth and they looked for water. They struck again and they looked for water. And they struck again and somebody said, listen for a minute. Now, I think I hear something bubbling. I don't know. Let's strike it again, and let's look again. And they struck it again. And pretty soon, Brother Southern, it wasn't very long, they hear this bubbling, and it began to begin to become a roar. And pretty soon they smells like water up in here. And pretty soon that dry ground turned into a well of living water. You've got to expect the answer any second now. You live like it's going to happen. You talk like it's going to happen. You believe like it's going to happen. Come on, somebody. You ought to buy you a t-shirt any day now, any second now. You ought to tape it to your mirror any day now, any second now. Stop complaining and start believing. It'll change your whole outlook on life. Any second now. Somebody say that, any second now. Any second now, water. Any second now, I'm going to get that job. Any second now, I'm going to get that call. Any second now, my kid's going to come back to the church. Any second now, my marriage is going to turn around. Any second now, I'm going to get my healing. I don't know how, and I don't know when. I don't know exactly how God's going to bring it to pass. But until it happens, I'll keep on stabbing away at this dry ground. It's going to happen. It's going to happen any second now. Any second now. Whatever your valley. Oh, whatever your trial. Live as though you are an alien. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm just walking through. I'm not going to die with this thirst in me. Yea, though I walk, I won't fixate on my problems. I won't be here long enough to write a song about my problem. I'm going to go ahead and write a song about the solution. I'm going to write a song about the answer. I'm going to keep on sticking this stave in the dry sand until I begin to see my answer come to pass. Expecting people are watching. They're waiting. They're anticipating a blessing any second now. Hallelujah. You go ahead and come up. Music. The fourth thing they did, all they've done so far, they dug, they sang, they've expected, and then they receive it. So get ready to receive it. Get ready to receive it. It's coming. Are you ready to receive it? I mean, we can get so acclimated to our problems and our situations and our circumstances, so acclimated to them that we become accustomed to just griping, complaining. This is part of who we are. What would you do if your situation changed? Are you ready to receive that healing? Are you ready to receive that financial blessing? Are you ready to receive that turning around of your family situation, whatever you're expecting God for, whatever you're praying for? Are you ready right now to receive it if God brought it to you? You know what I say to you? You better grab some buckets. You better grab you some cups. When the water comes, you better be ready to receive that thing. Don't let it just flow on down to the next valley. You better be ready. When that well came, they needed buckets to draw it with. When that well, 2 to 3 million people had to drink from this miraculous provision of the well. They had to be ready. I'm sure Moses was telling some of them, hey, keep on singing, but while they're digging, you better get the buckets out. You better get the cups ready. You better get everybody gathered together. I like that. The Bible says he gathered them together. They all had to be in on this, church. We don't need 2 or 3 voices right now. We need one voice saying revival. We need one voice saying God is able. We need one voice saying any minute now, any second now, God is going to bring this to pass. One voice together. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Psalm 96:1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Maybe some of us need a new song today. You've been singing the same old blues and sad song. Maybe you need a new song. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen. This is a new song for some of us. We've been singing the wrong song. We need a new song. Sing his wonders among all the people, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. How about Psalm 40? Psalm 40, verse 1. I love this one. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. If God never does another thing for us, Brother Barrow, He's already done that. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. What emanates from your lips, listen to me, child of God, what emanates from your lips, it influences this world. Many shall see it. Listen to this. You say, well, I can't sing very well. That's all right. The psalmist said, doesn't talk about it. Many heard it. Many saw it. So maybe it wasn't that great of a voice. They weren't talking about what it sounded like. Did you see that? What did you see? I saw him going from complaining to singing a new song. I saw him go from singing about, oh, woe is me, to spring up, oh, well. What did it sound like? How was the harmony? Was he on key? I don't know. I just saw him go from the old song to the new song. So don't worry about what it sounds like. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust the Lord. I love that. One more, Psalm 144, and then we're going to sing and you can sing with us. 144, verse 7. Send thine hand from above, rid me and deliver me out of my great waters from the hand of strange children whose mouth speaketh vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. I love it. Join with us today. We're going to sing a new song. Let's sing it. Come on, put your hands together out there with us.
I'm gonna sing a new song.
Oh yeah, come on, sing that.
Shout it out louder than before. Let the whole earth sing. Let the whole earth sing.
All right.
There is a place we can see His face.
Oh yes.
The change.
Worship with us now.
Presence.
Come on, worship with us out there. There is a sound.
There is a sound. I hear it all around. Worship is rising.
Come on, that's it.
People crying out. I want to sing a new song.
Oh, yes.
Shout it out louder than before. Let the whole earth sing. Let the whole earth sing.
Sing this with us now.
Hallelujah.
Come on, it's a new song.
Hallelujah.
It's a new song.
Oh,
hallelujah.
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 Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Wanna sing a new.
Let the whole earth sing.
Listen, I want to pray right now for you. Some of you need a healing in your body. Some of you just need a miracle in your life. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, when we sing this one more time, God, I pray that there are going to be people refilled with the Holy Ghost, even as we sing, even as they worship with us, Lord. I believe there are going to be people who receive the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues. I claim it in the name of Jesus Christ. God, I believe right now, as we sing this song again, life is going to flow into people who have lost hope. They've given up. But in the name of Jesus, I speak life into your situation. I speak life into your body. I speak life into your finances. I speak life into your marriage, into your family. You need to claim that right now. Come on, begin to worship the Lord there in your living room. Begin to worship the Lord there wherever you are. Come on and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. In the name of Jesus, sing it with us. Worship with us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Come on, that's it. Believe God for your miracle right now.
Hallelujah.
Come on, expect it. Expect it. Expect it.
Hallelujah.
I'm digging. I'm digging. I'm digging.
Hallelujah.
Oh, in the name of Jesus, I'm digging. Right now, in the name of Jesus, be healed in the name of Jesus, be made whole in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, yes, come on, sing this with us. Hallelujah! Receive that in the name of Jesus. Receive it by faith in the name of Jesus. Yeah, come on, keep on digging. I want you to keep on digging today. God is going to bring the answer. God hears your every prayer. And when we sing a new song, when we sing a new song, things begin to change. Hallelujah. Thank you for joining us today. We pray this has been a blessing to you. If it has, share this. Share this on your Facebook account and let God bless others. Hey, our next live stream is Wednesday night at 7:30. We can't wait to be with you again. Remember to answer your phones, watch your text messages, whatever, for next Sunday. Right now it looks like we're going to try to do a service, so we'll let you know more about that. God bless you. Have a great day. We all love you. Don't we love them? Amen. God bless you. We're going to wave bye to you out there. Have a great day.